Hi everybody, I wanted to get the word out there about our new Kickstarter. At the end of May, Indie PopCon is coming to Indianapolis, and we are trying to put up a couple of booths in their podcast alley. Head over to Kickstarter, you can go to tinyurl.com/nerdpopkick, and check out what we have to offer for rewards, what all's going on, how much we need. We're most of the way to our goal already, but we'd love to have some more support and reach some stretch goals. So, thank you for your support and your time, and we will talk to you real soon.
You better button your brain, you're in the nerd's domain. Come on in, it's about to begin.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the podcast again. I'm here with John.
Hi.
Shirley.
Hello.
And Sean Akins is joining us this week.
Hello.
He's a friend of ours that we met at one of our local gaming stores. So let's talk real quick about Game Paradise here in Indianapolis, because I like to give them a little bit of plug, since they're doing some ad stuff on our website, and they've been really helpful to us. Game Paradise is a local board game library, and it's one of the few in the country that does what it does. So you go in, you pay a nominal fee, and you get to access their more than 1,300 board games and play them. We played, probably four or five dozen games over there.
Yeah, like a lot. Hey.
Where's my fish?
Where's my fish?
You have to finish that. Hey, where's
my
fish?
I was getting ready to finish it. But
we played the Game of Thrones board game.
Right, and then we played what's it called? The bamboo and the panda.
Yeah, what is that called, Janon?
Takanuki?
The
bamboo and the panda.
Yeah, the one that you showed us how to play.
I cannot think of the name of it.
So, over 1,300 board games. If you guys are in the Indianapolis area, and I know some of you are, I would suggest checking it out. It's down in Fountain Square. They're really friendly, and if you go in, let them know that we sent you, because I'd like them to know that we're trying to support the store as best we can. Other than that, let's go ahead and get into our What You Doing. So, hey, Shirley.
Yes.
Have you been reading?
A little bit.
So what have you been reading?
I have been reading Stolen Kingdom, which is a review I'm getting ready to put up on the site.
Okay.
The story is really good. I like it. It's a fantasy, what do you call that? Medieval?
Yeah.
Fantasy medieval.
Yeah.
And I like those type of stories, so it's kind of Arthurian, but, it hops around from, like, first person, third person, to different point of views for the story, so I'm not sure, but you'll hear that in my review when I put it up this week. Oh.
That'll be going up, actually, the Monday after this podcast comes out.
Oh, okay, so the Monday after this podcast. But other than that, I'm still on the Wheel of Time book 5, and
that was Stolen Kingdom.
Stolen Kingdom, yes.
Okay.
And Wheel of Time book 5, and then I'm also on, I'm still kind of, seeking out my own spiritual person, so I'm reading Dark Journey.
Dark Journey.
Yes.
What's that about? Just curious.
It's just about different goddesses that are considered on the darker side that we take for granted.
Okay.
In our spiritual lives, like Inanna and Eriushkigal and
like Hel from Norse stuff.
What is Lilith?
Okay.
Lilith.
Okay.
She's considered to be a darker goddess.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm kind of studying that to get in balance with my dark and light side.
Okay. John?
I'm becoming a Jedi.
Okay. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to... Wait. Hate leads to anger. Anger leads to something. Dark side. Bad.
Bad.
Wow.
Dark side is bad.
I think I lost some nerd cred. Go ahead, John. What do you got for reading?
As usual, I have not been doing a lot of reading. However, we did.
Words are hard.
Yeah. Words are hard when you're forced to stare at a laptop 24/7.
Yeah, it's true.
And draw and create art rather than read. But we did get to the library last weekend, and I found something that I consider incredibly awesome. There's a show on TV called Castle. It stars Nathan Fillion, Firefly fame. I'm sure you've heard or seen it. Heard about it or seen it. Anyway, so in that show, Frank Castle is a writer. The title character, Frank Castle, writes a series of books.
Frank Castle? The Punisher?
Not The Punisher.
Okay.
He gets that a lot.
Okay. But, just checking.
Yeah, the name is that. But anyway, Nathan Fillion's character writes books and they go out and they're bestsellers or whatever. And in the library, I found Frank Castle's book.
What's the name of it?
It's, there's all kinds of them. Caged Heat, Frozen Heat. If something heat is always in the title.
Okay.
It's a thing with him. It's a joke. But anyway, so they've actually gone through and written one of these mystery novels that he writes based on this detective he follows.
So this sounds ridiculous. Is Castle, I might understand this. So Sean, you seem like you know about Castle a little bit.
No, I was laughing at the Firefly reference.
Okay, so is Castle Murder, She Wrote?
Kinda.
Okay.
Kinda, yeah. Except, reverse. He was at one point in a relationship with a detective and helps the cops out. But yeah, he's the reason they started the show was somebody was copying the murders in his books and making it look like the author was the murderer. But then, anyway, but the thing is, somebody is going through and actually writing these books and then slapping Nathan Fillion's picture on the back as though he was the author.
That's cool.
In the series, he sat down with, now I'm drawing a blank on the guy's name. He's a big name in mystery writing right now.
Okay.
If I could think of anything. So they have real authors on there as guest stars. Like they have a poker night for authors it's really funny. So anyway, these books are totally serious, but they're written by, I don't know, a staff writer or somebody.
Okay.
And they slap Nathan Fillion's picture on the back as though he's really Frank Castle, and it's great.
So have you read anything else?
No.
Okay. Hey, Sean.
Yes.
Do you know how to read?
I can read. So to be honest, during my day job, I actually work as a course developer, so I'm writing words all day long. So reading words comes naturally, certainly, but I've gotten to a point where I can't stand to read books anymore because I'm writing them all day long. And I imagine there's probably quite a few authors of the same way. However, mine don't involve any, fantasy, elves and dwarves and whatnot. So I've been kind of returning back to my days of yore and reading World of Warcraft books.
And nerd! You just said there was no dwarves and elves.
What? It's normal.
What did I say that?
Oh, I got it. Okay,
Was a reference to Firefly, because I am way more into fantasy than sci-fi. I'm one of the only people I know who didn't enjoy Firefly at all. I know.
I lose. He's sorry. He's not going to make it.
He's not watching the Battlestar Galactica either.
I know. I'm horrible. I tried. I just couldn't get into it. Yeah. I've been reading Blood and Honor. I went back to the very first book that Blizzard did under Warcraft series. It was an ebook called A Blood and Honor, and it talks about the very early days of the orcs and humans and how they were fighting and whatnot. And I'm really into that. Although I'm not far into it, I can't tell you much about it or recommend it. I am digging back into Walking Dead as well. I made it through the first year of comics, which is all of 12 issues. And now I'm back onto year two. And oh my gosh, it is one of the best comic book series. It truly deserves every honor and every award it's gotten. It's just great. I really like it a lot. So I'm back to reading that again.
Right on. I guess that comes to me. I have been reading a book called Crush It. It's kind of, I guess it would fall under self-help, but it's more about taking your passion and monetizing it. This guy that took his passion for wine and monetized it into a YouTube channel and has exploded the sales at his father's shop, where his father was making maybe $500,000 a year, and now it's a $4.5 million a year shop. So it's interesting to hear him talk about how to take your passion and really, really get into that. I'm trying to think. I haven't read a whole lot else. I've been trying to finish up a book that I can't think of the name of by a guy I can't think. John Sanford. I'm still reading this terrible book. Oh, Stormfront. That's why. Not the one by Jim Butcher. Stormfront. The other one. So it's kind of meh. But that's been mostly what I've been reading. So, Shirley, have you listened to any podcasts lately?
I am starting to listen to Ladies of Leap.
Okay.
Which is a woman's take on video gaming. I haven't listened to very much, but I'm getting ready to listen to them. I know that we have, like, you have to listen to 6 podcasts before you review it, so that's what I'm doing for my upcoming podcast review. And it's pretty interesting. I'm not a big video gamer.
Mm-hmm.
Except for WoW, you know, on my PC, I don't have any other platforms that I video game on. So being able to listen to these women and listen to their take on, you know, video gaming and the different platforms that they game on, I just, you know, it was pretty interesting. So, Ladies of Leap is what I'm listening to lately.
Listen to them for we were talking about Steam today. Listen to them they'll talk about Steam eventually, because Nicole Spagnuolo is into Steam a lot.
Right.
I'm not familiar with the other hosts of that one, but I know Nicole is into Steam.
Yeah.
Is Samantha Jane on that one?
I am on it. Like,
not yet. Okay. I haven't heard her yet. No.
So. John, podcasts?
Like Shirley, I am a fan of the Frog Pants Network. My last review, Nerd Parents, did that one go up yet? I forget.
No, not yet. It will soon.
This week, I'm going to have a review go up for the Nerd Parents podcast, which is a parenting advice podcast done by Nicole Spag. Nicole Spagnuolo, it's a full name she goes by.
Yeah.
Nicole Spag on everything else. But anyway. And that's been kind of interesting. They try to get a diverse opinion on the board. It's the main three hosts are women, but they always have tried to have a male perspective on the show, at least. And their primary concern is modern parenting with nerdy activities in mind. It's interesting. Because of a review that Justin posted a while ago now, I think before New Year maybe.
Okay.
He suggested a podcast called Pseudopod, which does horror stories.
Yeah.
They're short stories. So it's, you get a host who does a little introduction of the author of the story. Then somebody out there in the world reads it and, the host comes back and closes out the show. It's very, simple, quick and easy. I've been enjoying that one, and they have another one that goes along with that, and Escape Pod. It's a science fiction version of the exact same thing.
So, okay.
Writes a short story, the host comes along and introduces it. But you can, submit a story, you can submit to read, and just record the vocals in your house and send it into them.
Oh, okay.
So you get a wide range of readers and things. And
how long do the podcasts normally run?
A short story. I don't think that they've gone longer than an hour and 12 minutes since I started listening.
Okay.
But I'm not going to swear that they didn't go longer or haven't gone longer than past. But, there's some good, interesting stuff. It's not going to be for, you know, your cup of tea every time, because they like to spread it out and get as much as they can in there. They even do, like I said, though, anybody can submit, but they do a contest every year to try to get literal listener, you know, non-professional authors to submit. And I'm going to say that on their pseudopod, they're I listened to their top 3 submissions, and those are some really dark stories that
right on.
I'm not going to talk about now because they're really disturbing. Actually,
you have to go to sleep
soon. Yeah, I got to go to sleep soon, and they went somewhere with that. So if you like horror stories, like I said, not everyone is exactly scary, but they're they mix it in, and then the sci-fi runs the gamut. Of, you know, it's sci-fi, so
okay. I have not been keeping up on my podcasts my work situation changed, and the time I was using to listen to podcasts, I have to do things that don't
work.
Yeah, that don't allow me to shut off my mind while I do them, so I can listen to podcasts. So, I have been keeping up on FilmSack. I'm very proud of that. I've been trying to listen to Critical Hit.
Yeah.
I'm kind of behind on that. And then, what else was I talking about? Or was I thinking about I've been listening to Arse. Yeah. You know, why not? I do enjoy listening to those. That's about it for me right now. Unfortunately. So, Sean, do you listen to any?
No, I'm bad, I know.
Yeah, because you don't even listen to this one.
I can't get...
You're terrible.
I can't get off Spotify, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Spotify is amazing.
The variety of music on Spotify.
Well, then let us suggest something to you.
Yeah.
Please do.
Again, on the Frog... What is he?
He's on the Frog Pants.
Is he the Frog Pants Network? There's a guy that we listen to, Matt and I really like. His name is Brian Evan. He does a show called Coverville. The requirement on his show is he doesn't play any quote unquote original music. Everything he plays is a cover of something.
Okay.
And every week it's
either a super popular band covering something by another popular band, or it's a completely unknown
band
covering. And his show has changed up a little bit. He used to do two shows a week that were about an hour long. Now he does one 2 hour long show every week. And he switches up what he does. So sometimes it's cover stories where they take a band and he finds covers of their songs and does their kind of a story about them.
Okay.
He does a couple others. Well,
he does birthday themes. You know,
like, yeah.
You know, Jimmy Buffett's birthday is this week, so we're gonna do all the I was in your car for like 5 minutes tonight. So, your taste in music runs more techno, Deadmau5 and all that. To be fair,
I literally have everything on my Spotify.
Well, there you go.
Country to rock to techno.
Okay.
To audiobooks.
So, yeah. So, I think Coverville might be something you might want to check out.
He's got 1,000 episodes. Nice. So you've got plenty to choose from.
He actually even started an internet radio station on his website, Coverville.com, so you can check that out. That one runs 24/7 because people can help him out and upload songs and use his database to program radio, you know, time slots.
Okay.
On his internet station, so you might want to check that out.
Yeah, and every Thanksgiving, every single Thanksgiving, he does a Beatles cover-thon. And then towards the end of the year, he does a countdown of his top like 20 or 40 or 100 covers for the year.
Nice.
He does his 24-hour cover-a-thon to raise money.
That's right, yeah.
For Alzheimer's, I believe, is his?
Yeah, I probably.
His charity of choice.
But it's a super good podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
And he breaks it into AAC, which is a file format.
Mm-hmm.
So that he can put in breaks. So if you really don't like the song, you hit next, it goes to the next song. Or his next intro.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're like, well, I'm really not feeling this song next, it's not that big of a deal.
That happens to me sometimes. I don't have that wide of range.
Which is way easier in your car as well.
Yeah, totally.
Work, you can skip forward. In your car, you're like, you don't want to fumble with your phone.
He actually turned me on to some music that I really like. I'm trying to look for it now because it would be nice. Tidwell.
Yeah.
Jeremy Tidwell? But this guy did Daniel Tidwell. He does covers of video games. So,
nice.
Like, is he the chiptunes guy?
No. He's okay. He's like modern, or he's like heavy metal.
Yeah.
Yes. I know who you're talking about. He does some covers of Skrillex too.
Does he? He might. There he is. Oh, where'd he go? There he is. So he did like the Castlevania theme and DuckTales, the theme, the moon theme from DuckTales, and so stuff from that. Like it's all kind of 8 and 16 bit stuff. It's not a lot of it's real new, but it's still stuff I grew up on, and it's really nice to listen to.
Nice.
He also started Coverville Records, which is he's got one or two artists on it.
I don't remember.
The Andrew Allen Trio is on it, and he does jazz covers of Star Trek.
Nice. I love jazz. That's awesome too.
Yeah, yeah. And he's really good. So yeah, you should definitely check out that. That's everybody for that. So, yeah. So gaming. Let's start. Let's go ahead and start with Sean this time because I know you game a little bit.
Oh my gosh!
Have you played anything recently? Like 2 days ago, that was really good, and the guy that ran it was amazing.
Oh yeah. I'm gonna sound horrible now because I already said I don't like Firefly, and I struggle with BSG, and now I'm going to trash D&D. Okay, so folks, I grew up. I'm 33. I grew up in the heyday of D&D in the 80s and 90s when it was really picking up. Except, what was Baldur's Gate and Icewind Dale? Mm-hmm. D&D to me came in the form of PC games, and as much my friends did as well. We really got into those, you know, doing the dice rolling and doing the adventure and doing the deep stories and having multiple characters. But we didn't have to roll the dice. We didn't have to rely on that mechanic, you know, of, well, I rolled it wrong, and, oh, look at that, I'm dead. Or I missed. Sorry, party, you're all going to take a punishment for me. So playing D&D for the first time was kind of polarizing, because I expected that I would really love that. I would enjoy figuring out what I missed out on. And as much as Matt did a great job DMing.
And he did.
He did. Matt did a great job DMing. I didn't see the magic in it, and I felt kind of bad when I left. And I was even telling a friend of mine who's much younger and also didn't grow up on D&D, being younger, was like, that wasn't as fun as I thought it was going to be. And I know I'm going to get so much hate mail for this, but it was one of those things that, you know, I appreciated what it would have done in the 70s and the 80s and maybe in the early 90s. But once PC gaming got to the point where you could be more immersive with your imagery and your characters and the storytelling, and a team of people could do more than what one person could feasibly do, and without the commitment as well of having to meet every week and stopping, I just feel like I'm disconnected there. And I enjoyed it. It was cool. It was novelty for me. Yeah.
I think that you would do better in a long campaign that is more structured around you as a player. That, because I agree with what you're saying. Like, I played Baldur's Gate and Baldur's Gate 2, but that was a set story, and you got railroaded through it. You had no choice but to go through that story.
Yeah.
With D&D run by a good DM, yeah, there's kind of a story, but you can meander along there, and they bring you back in by involving your character and your background and what it means to you to do these things. John ran a 4-year campaign.
Yep.
4-year.
Where I played Finrath, Ilyaneth, and my courageous fellows came along with us. And I had more fun with that character. I mean, just playing him and doing the things that I was doing. I have more fun from that and from other stories like that than I do from most anything else. But yeah,
you know, if Sapphire hadn't been killed off, yeah, she would have been the leader.
Yeah, sure, I believe that. so Shirley, you know what, Sean? Anything else you've been playing?
And apps-wise, I definitely
want to. Not apps, no, just games.
Sorry, games, game just games. Well, gaming games. Wise, still yeah. Gaming. I do want to give a shout out to Dungeolot 2. I know that sounds weird.
Dungeolot.
Think of a combination of dungeon and lot. So it's Dungeolot, Dungeolot 2. It's the sequel to
Dungeolot. Right?
it's a game that I lost myself in quite a bit when it first came out. It was made by a developer, and I would be hard to try to remember where he's from, but he's somewhere over in Europe. And the game is basically dungeon crawling on a one-by-one dungeon, like one level, and then go to the next level. And you're basically uncovering tiles in this, like, it's like an 8x8 square.
Okay.
As you uncover the square, you either get a monster or a treasure or nothing. And then you move to the next one, kind of following the path. And at any point when you open up this square, if a monster appears, everything around it's locked. So you have to go an opposite way or go back and kill the monster. Simplicity-wise, it is the most simplistic game I've ever played. But I cannot explain to you how much I loved it. Wow. I unlocked all 4 characters. I spent countless hours getting any one character to level 200 before I would die and start back at 1 again. And it was fun. I never got bored of that. It's a great game. Dungeolot 2 came out, and I'm a little upset about the fact that the developer had to choose the free-to-play route.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, hey, spend $5, get a new character, and X amount of items and levels, you have to buy bonuses that help you get further in the game now. So I'm a little disappointed in that. It's still in a bit of a beta phase. He's still testing it. He's openly mentioned that. So hopefully the feedback from players who are checking it out and playing it will help alter that.
Okay. And
for the future. But it's one of those games that I can just play for hours. I can sit home and just lose myself in it watching TV.
If you wouldn't mind, what about Incredibrawl? You said mention that tonight.
Yes, yeah, Incredibrawl as well. I don't remember the developer's name. He's a local to Indiana, so it's great supporting a local developer. But it's basically like Smash Up in an ultralight version. You would have four players sitting across from each other, so two and two essentially, and they'll brawl it out with any random combination of monsters. I think we had at one point a pirate versus a mermaid. We had a space astronaut versus a Yeti. And essentially, it has very simple mechanics of, you know, what kind of creature is it? Like a mad scientist might be a human, but also a mutant because he's gone mad and he's changed himself in some way.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really neat. And essentially, you'll have two battles and you'll have two more battles. And then those two will then go on to the final round and they'll fight it out for victory points. It's harder to explain it than that because it's such a simple game, but we played it for three rounds and it was so hard to come up with a winner, like guessing who's going to win. Smash Up, when someone gets to a certain point, you know the game's pretty much over. They're already dominating. They got all the right characters and the right things happening. But Incredibrawl changed very quickly, and it was a very fast game. I think we got through a round in 30 minutes, or a full game in 30 minutes.
Okay.
And I have never laughed so hard playing a game that was that simple. Usually it's kind of like we're killing time, friends are getting through it, let's get on to the next game when everyone gets here. This, I can see myself playing on a game night for a couple of hours because it was that fun.
That's put out by Vision 3 Games.
That's right.
So, vision3games.com with the number 3. John, games.
Oh, games. Sorry,
Stones of Fate?
Yeah, Stones of Fate was fun. I got to experience that for the first time tonight. The publisher, do you remember the publisher's name?
Yeah, it's Cosmic Wombat. Cosmic Wombat.
Cosmic Wombat is correct. Stones of Fate is a very quick, simple game that I don't know how much the 8-year-old at the next table was actually participating.
Okay.
But I think they were. She was playing the game. That was clear. But how much strategy she was grasping, I couldn't quite tell because I didn't see many points on her side. But you get a grid of 9 cards, and then there is a deck of more, depending on how long of a game you will play. It's actually currently based on the classic tarot deck.
Okay.
So however many classic tarot cards it would be with ace through king of each suit, plus the major arcana.
Okay.
You put them out in a grid of 9 face down, so that you don't know what you're doing, but you have actions where you can peek at them, and then you can place your stone markers near them, your stones of fate, and you're trying to get win the cards by placing your stones in the proper way around them. So you might have to place 2 stones to the left of it once it's face up. You might have to place 1 stone on 3 different sides.
Okay.
And so on and so forth. Some cards care how many stones there are. But I played in a tournament tonight with, we started out with 6, 4, 10 people, and then a couple of people dropped out. So we had 8 people, playing. We did a 3-round tournament and I came in second.
Okay.
It was a lot of fun. It was all over the place. Somebody who was, people who were only getting 4 or 5 points a game, the first two games, came back in and, slammed the table and got 15 points in the end.
Okay.
But it's simple enough that, an 8-year-old can play, but it's got deep enough strategy that, 30-year-olds were having a good time and, arguing over it and making it. Controlling each other. It's good stuff.
Those are the best kind of games.
Yeah, yeah. And this game, that game is currently on Kickstarter. And they're doing, I think they're doing pretty well.
I think they were at 82%. They've been on for 4 days.
Yeah.
So they're going to make it. It's just a matter of which stretch goals are going to get funded so that you get more for your money.
Right on. Shirley, Or I'm sorry, John, did you have any other games? I'm sorry.
I probably could go on forever if I fought hard enough, but it's late.
Okay.
So
one game that we played today that I really liked, and because we played it at Game Paradise, mm-hmm. was Pixel Lincoln.
Okay.
I love that game. I never got, except for Donkey Kong, I never really got into the 8-bit games. So when we went to Game Paradise and we found Pixel Lincoln and we played it for the first time, I was really surprised by the mechanics of it and how easy it was to play and how much I liked it.
What kind of game is it?
It is a deck building game by Game Salute Island Officials, and Jason Tagmeyer is the artist and designer. I like most of the deck building games. Is it DC or Legendary that I like?
DC.
Okay.
I even know that one.
DC deck building game. I love that one. And then, the game that we experienced this afternoon, Jason Ward's game.
Yeah, well, hold on. Let's talk about Pixel Lincoln real quick.
Okay.
So Pixel Lincoln is a deck-building game.
Yes.
In the style of an 8-bit video game.
Yes.
I mean, that's kind of important because, I mean, just saying it's a deck-building game doesn't
really... Yeah, you have this board that you lay down, and it has, like, two levels. It's level one and level two. And then you put out these monsters or these... Items that you're able to pick up or defeat as you go along the line to the deck, and then once you reach the deck, it resets the line. I think it's like, what, four or six?
Five. Five cards.
Five or six, five cards that you're like push back to the beginning, and then you have to go through them until you reach the mini boss, and then you defeat the boss at each level. And then once the boss is defeated on each level, it's the end of the game.
Yeah, and it scrolls very much like an 8-bit scroll.
There's even checkpoints.
Yeah, I mean,
like little flags, like Mario Brothers, like Lava.
And it's very satirical. You start out with movement cards that are called jumps, and weapon cards that are called beardarangs. That's right. He takes his beard off and throws it as a beardarang. And then you can pick up stuff like the Berserk Burger or the Double Berserker.
Okay. And you have to say that, you know, when you say beardarang and it's Lincoln Pixel, it's actually Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, it's Abraham Lincoln.
That's why it's a beardarang.
And stuff like the Chicken Cannon.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing.
Today we fought the Puke Turtles. And the luchadors.
And the luchadors.
And the throwing luchadors. And the rocket luchadors or something. I mean,
yeah.
this game does not take itself seriously at all. It's just there for fun. And we had a lot of fun with it. Sean, yes. You actually kind of introduced us to it.
Well, I had saw it at Game Paradise. Yeah, sorry. Game Paradise. And it was kind of caught my eye. I grew up with the 8-bit games. I loved Mario and whatnot. And I saw that and I'm like, well, this looks really cool. Then when I realized it was deck building, I'm like, well, this looks very intriguing because it doesn't look like a deck building game. Yeah. In my mind, I'm thinking, Dominion or Ascension. I'm like, this isn't deck building. Then I realized that you actually do have multiple decks of enemies, items, and whatnot. And you just choose at random or pick what you want to play with. And you'll build them into two decks for the two levels. That, to me, was very intriguing that it's not going to be the same game every time. Because honestly, even games like Ascension and Dominion get boring if you play the same set every single time.
Right.
You add in expansions or new cards, and it's like, okay, this is fun again. I mean, I've been playing Ascension for 3 years.
Yeah.
I could easily keep playing Pixel Lincoln a lot with new card sets.
Yeah, yeah. It is a smaller set of cards, but this was their first game out. Or the base set, and it came out at Gen Con last year, or it came out shortly before. I know that it sold there and sold out every time.
Right. I think it was a little before, but
Game Salute is really great with their games. They do a support system with Kickstarter, so I like Pixel Lincoln. I think I'm with you, Sean. I think I would love to play it more and more as long as I can get new
stuff.
New cards.
New things, yeah. Because, I mean, yeah, even the novelty of certain cards will wear off after time. And what's not as funny the second, third, and fourth time, then you have to worry about strategy. And it's strategy there. It totally is.
Yeah, well, and in all fairness, I still laugh every time we play Penny Arcade and I
touch wieners. Touch wieners and bromance?
Yep.
That's amazing.
Right? And Scrotum.
Yeah. Oh gosh, that game's great. I've been playing Panini Arcade's on iOS and I believe Android now as well, and that's another one that I play daily.
Maybe it's a buy one. Yeah, it's a $4.99 app.
You
know, I mean,
it's $5 though. I might have to buy the bullet on that one. Yeah. I don't pay for apps normally.
Yeah, I don't either, but yeah.
While we're on the subject of 8-bit card games, have you seen Boss Monster?
Yes, they didn't like it. Yeah. Matt didn't like it, but actually bought it.
I missed it. Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Comics University. I was there a couple weeks ago, and Dare, who also does a lot with the gaming community as well as comics, pointed me over there, and he's like, have you seen our new game shelf? And I'm like, yeah, I'll check it out. And I walked over, and I saw Boss Monster. Yeah. And it was like, out of this wall of games, it shouted at me.
Did you get the gold box?
No, I got the black one.
That was a Kickstarter promo, so I didn't know if it was going to be.
Yeah, I didn't know till the store.
Yeah.
Well, and there is an expansion either out or coming out.
Sweet. And I really liked it.
And I want to say it's like $10.
Yeah.
So
it's a cheap game. In Boss Monster, rather than trying to kill the monster at the end of the dungeon, you are the monster at the end of the dungeon, mm-hmm. and you are trying to build the most awesome death trap so that the heroes come from town to your dungeon and get killed, and you collect their souls. But it's 8-bit inspired, and the jokes on there are awesome. I love that game, too.
Yeah, old fans of Dungeon Keeper. This is the new board game version of Dungeon Keeper, really. I mean, in a sense.
Yeah.
So
Shirley, do you have another game?
Other than that, I just remember we are in Hoosier Con weekend.
Yeah.
So we were like walking around and I saw Evil Baby Orphanage again.
Yeah, I wanted to play that.
I totally wanted to play that.
I had a couple friends over here that brought it and they're like, you've got to try this game.
Oh my gosh, it's so much fun.
Ridiculous. I mean, honestly, it's ridiculous. The idea is just absolutely ridiculous. Have I told you about it?
Hitler as a baby and reforming him.
So you take Stalin, you play time travelers and you go back in time and take these evil people as babies and try and raise them. Right. So people like Hitler and Pol Pot, Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
Just these people that, you know, were terrible in history. Yeah.
Probably rightfully so.
I'm not defending anyone. I'm just saying they are vilified by history. We're not just like, you won't find Obama in there.
True. Yeah.
Hey, he doesn't need to be reformed.
Some people have different things. Right.
Politics
are over. Anyway.
That's my bad.
Other than that, we were in the library, and the only thing that I saw that was really, really interesting to me was Carcassonne. I didn't realize there were so many different releases of Carcassonne.
They had like 4 or 5.
That's ridiculous.
There's 35. There's some ridiculous number. So John and I ended up playing Carcassonne, the castle. And it was interesting. Yeah. It's different.
It is. It's only a two-player game.
Yeah.
Which always bugs me when a game is only two players.
Which
made me sad, because I was like sitting there, I was like, why am I sitting here?
Yeah. And yet both Matt and I volunteered to be the ones
sitting there. Yeah, I know. And it was an interesting play. We didn't realize how all of the scoring went, so when we got to the game, I lost, but I lost because I was expecting something different.
We didn't sit down and read the rules first.
Have you played Carcassonne?
Okay, so funny story.
So, funny story about this.
I love Reddit.
Just so you know, we try and keep these about an hour. You only have 23 minutes, so let's keep this
totally fine. Story totally quick. No, it's a quick story, I promise. I was on Reddit, and I did the Reddit Santa. Secret Santa, sorry. I love doing this. It's a great program. And someone saw I was into board games, and they're like, have you ever played Carcassonne? And I'm like, I know, I should have. It's a classic game. Never tried it. They sent me the travel version. This is 2 years ago.
That's awesome.
That thing has set wrapped in my game.
Oh, wow. What? Really?
Because I can't get anyone to play it. No one knows it.
I'm
going to bring it. I'll bring it to Game Paradise.
They've got the regular version there. We'll bring our regular version. It's a super simple game. It's a lot of strategy. There's a lot of strategy there.
There is. It's,
but
well, I don't know. Jason Lord. It's random.
It is random by the tile you pull, and I get that. Some people don't like that random element.
Yes.
But I do.
Yeah.
As far as it's random for everybody and anybody can grab anything.
I kind of wish it was like a three tile.
You could
choose which of those. But I mean, I think that's a house rule you could probably.
Yeah, it's true. So you should definitely play it.
Absolutely.
I was just disappointed with the normally in normal Carcassonne, you score things that aren't completed. They're just not worth as much. Mm-hmm. I was expecting that. Our scores would have been completely different had that been the case. I don't know if I would have won, but not I would have either. I would have not lost by that much.
Right.
So yeah, I had not had a bunch of stuff not completed, just thinking, oh, you know, not a big deal. So,
yeah.
I guess that comes to me. I want to talk about Allegiance.
Okay.
Some friends of ours, Jason Warden, Eric Barnett, and Mikey Hall, and Adam, whose name I don't remember the last part. Yeah. I like Mikey, but I can't pronounce his name to save my life. They will actually be on our next podcast to discuss independent board game design. They've built a game from the ground up all by themselves. They've gotten some help from Cosmic Wombat now that they're getting closer to production.
Well, they're on the publishing
end. Yeah.
Help,
but
with all that.
But they have developed what John and I playtested today. It's a 4-player game, and essentially you are you are an up and comer in the political arena of this fantasy realm. And the Emperor is about to die, and you know that, so you're going around getting favor with different people
in the court
to get the most points and win the emperorship when the emperor dies. But the mechanics are, I think, pretty unique. I mean, there's some stuff I've seen before, there are enough with the favor and apathy deck. I think that's really, really interesting.
Very interesting concept. Somebody used the word deck building game. I wouldn't quite say it's a deck building game because you don't build a deck and cycle through the cards and see the cards come back out.
Yeah.
You recruit allies to your side of the table and negotiate with the other players. I think that's the aspect that I was most intrigued with is the negotiation. But I did not understand the mechanics of the game well enough
know
how to do
that. And this is still in beta.
It is.
So the rules aren't written. They were very, I think they were well explained.
Oh, sure.
As far as what we got. But there were definitely some things that I would like to sit down and read the rules and play it a couple more times and really get a better feel for it. But I'm very excited because the four guys that are building this game are all very intelligent, very high class gamers. So I think they're going to put out a good game no matter what.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely got a really solid base, and it's built up from there.
Yeah.
So a little polish here and there, I think it'll be a game to look out for.
And the plan is to print it later this year. I know they're going to beta test. They beta tested this weekend. They will beta test, hopefully, at any PopCon, but they will probably be beta testing other places too, and they will be setting up at Gen Con. So if you are listening now and you're going, well, I'm going to be at Gen Con, that would be the place to check this out.
Yeah.
It's with Cosmic Wombat Games again. I was really impressed with it. And then my last game is Trains. It's a deck building game.
Oh my god.
Sort of. Can I talk about my game now?
Go ahead.
It's a deck building train track laying game.
Okay.
You have a board, and you use your cards to get victory points and build train lines between cities.
Maybe I'm just not logical enough.
Did you have the ships with the different values?
Crazy hard for me.
Okay,
you were saying, sweetie?
Like, I don't know. Maybe I just need to, like, take my smart pills before I play this game or something.
I'm looking up who it's made by, because now that he's asked, I can't think of the name.
AEG published it, but it was a Japanese developer.
Yeah.
Wow, there's a lot of words.
What is that bamboo game you taught us?
Takanokado.
It is AEG.
Takanoko.
It is AEG that put it out. It is from a Japanese company called Japan Brand.
Is there a picture there I can see?
Japan Brand.
I'm just curious.
It has like the Japanese speed rail on it. He has a picture.
Yeah.
Okay, I saw that around. But
yeah. It was in the board game library.
Yeah.
They were pushing it heavy at Gen Con.
You know what?
And they had it in the atrium.
Yeah. It's a deck building. It's a classic deck building game with an extra mechanic to it that makes it kind of. It took me one game the first game I didn't understand. I got what we were supposed to be doing, but I didn't grasp how to do it.
Right.
Well. The second game we played, I did much better, except for the stupid card that the person we were playing with, who used it over and over again to thwart the fact that we were that there are certain rules you have to normally. So the idea is you build into cities, build station expansions, and that makes it more expensive for the next person to build into that city. Mm-hmm. She found a card to get around that, which is perfectly fine by the rules. But she used that exploit a lot more than Shirley or I did. I don't think Shirley used it at all, and I only used it a little bit. And she trashed us. Mm-hmm. So that was fun. So apps. What do you guys got for apps? We'll start with me. You know what? Let's start with John. Okay. Matt is not for apps now that I'm thinking about it.
I don't have any new apps. Yeah, I've only got...
Oh, and Ninja.
Let Johnny talk.
So, Clash of Clans came to the Android recently. I guess it was iOS only for a long time because Justin was telling me we were talking. He's like, "Oh, you got that? I quit that a while ago."
Yeah.
I'm probably going to quit it soon. I wrote a review for it. It's okay for a time waster, but I've got to wait 2-3 more days before my next construction will be done building and I can continue to expand.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, that's bullshit. Sorry.
Wow. Oh, yeah. We're going to have to go back and wow, nice. Yeah. Good thing anyway. Sean's not cussing up a storm.
I'm watching my mouth.
But anyway. So that's... And then there's another one called Brave Frontier, which has anime chibi-style characters that you summon and use them to fight other anime chibi-style monsters that the bad guys have summoned. And it's all of the turn-based Final Fantasy stuff without any of the walking around and grinding for levels.
Okay.
But again, it's one of those. It's another game. You have energy points, and if you want to go on a mission, it costs energy points. So you can only play until you run out of energy points, and then they refresh at a rate of 1 every 10 minutes. And you might need 7 to 8 to go on a regular everyday mission, and you need 15 to 20 to do the special missions. They just celebrated their 1,000,000th download. I might have been it because it literally started the day after I download the game. So, I mean, it's fun, but I hate apps where I can't use it.
What's the name of that?
After a certain point, it's called Brave Frontier. I mean, it's got some great art. It's got, you know, like I said, it's classic Final Fantasy style combats going on. Mm-hmm. There's animations and it's, you know, it's fun, but it's like, and like, you know, Clash of Clans, you get to a point where you can't do anything.
Yeah.
Until your resources refresh or you finish building and you gotta put it down. And
yeah.
I could pay to refill my energy or whatever, but I could pay $2 to do it or I could just wait 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not happy with the way the market on these games or the monetization of games is working right now. But because even those $5 games, you know, like if something big comes out for them, you know, there might be more money to spend.
So. Yeah, well, and I bought Elder Sign for $5.
Yeah,
and then I bought an expansion and then another expansion.
Exactly.
And then there's a third expansion coming.
And of course, I mean, I live in America, and capitalism is a way of life, and I don't, you know, I'm not balking at that. People deserve to make the money that they deserve to make. It's just this little micro charge, pennies here and pennies there, gets me upset.
Well, and I can get right behind you on that, except that it works.
I know, I know. I'm not saying that it's a bad system. I'm saying that
at least with Elder Sign, I buy it once and I have that expansion.
True. Whereas you can play with you can decide not to get an expansion.
Yeah, like with Candy Crush, where I need 3 more moves. Here's my dollar. Good lord.
Right.
To fail and have to get another dollar. $2 I spent, I could have bought another game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't, like I said, I don't know what the answer is. I just know I don't like the current one. So.
Yeah. Shirley, you had some apps that you wanted to talk about?
Yes.
Awesome.
Oh my god, how do I get back?
Okay, so I'll talk about my apps real quick.
No, you can't talk about the Okay, so my apps are Relax Melodies by IP NOS. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Ipnos.
Ipnos?
I don't know.
Soft apps. It's called Relax Melodies Oriental. I love the Oriental flute, the chimes and things like that. Plus, they incorporate like all like natural sounds, like crickets or frogs or rain or storms. And I'm gonna hit Sean because he's laughing at me.
I have them too.
Oh,
I have apps like that. That's why I'm laughing.
That's funny. But anyway, this song or this app incorporates a lot of white noise in the form of soft music or natural sounds like rain, thunderstorms,
crickets, frogs, yeah,
blah, 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 whatever, to be able to help you sleep. But it also, what this does is it also gives you tips for different kinds of sleeping, I don't even know what to call it. Like, I get leg cramps. So, in the app, it, like, gives you, like, it tells you, okay, you have leg cramps, so this is what you can do. Or you have a snoring partner, like, you. So, it tells you how to...
You jab your elbow in his side to make him stop.
No, but it actually...
Gives you silent cues while you're sleeping, yes, you know? Subconscious cues to jab them.
And then it also has, the brain waves, the different type of brain waves to either key you up to be more productive or help you wind down to be more, to go into that sleep mode.
Okay.
So it's called Relax Melodies.
Okay.
And I'm trying to get the name of it, and it's relaxm.o.p. And then, of course, the 7-minute workout that I said earlier. And I don't know, what is the other app that I've been playing with lately? Spotify. Like, Spotify is my best friend.
Can I add something to that, too? We were talking about books earlier. You mentioned Spotify. When I went to a gaming convention up in Fort Wayne a couple months ago, October, September.
Rivers?
Yeah, Three Rivers. My buddy Rob Stone, who will probably hear this. So, hi, Rob.
Rob Stone.
Actually helped Rob Stone.
Oh, I thought you said snow. Yeah. I was
He didn't go to Winterfell.
I know. I was like,
yeah, Rob Stone actually puts that event on. He's the main organizer.
Okay.
So I was coming back and I was like, you know, I don't want music. I've had a long weekend of gaming and I played a lot of Elder Sign. I had watched Mansions of Madness get played. I also had watched a lot of Arkham Horror. And I love Lovecraft, but I had never actually sat down and read Lovecraft's books, like his actual books under his pen name. And I was like, you know, I want to go see if there's any audiobooks for it. And of course, nothing's out there directly under just like YouTube or whatever.
Right.
And I went on Spotify, and actually a majority of his books have been made into audiobooks.
Hold on, so
and
you
are
look
available.
At audiobooks on Spotify?
Some are on there. It's not as big as you would think.
Music.
But Spotify actually has Lovecraft's books, and I literally listened to almost
the
majority of them on there.
Audiobooks on Spotify.
And I'll tell you what, it is creepier to hear them read them
it is.
With the sound effects than I could ever make it in my mind. I mean, I read the Dunwich Horror, and I'm kind of creeped out in daylight. I'm just going to pull off and stop, you know? Put on some techno again.
That's awesome.
So Spotify, I love that app. They're really doing a good job with that.
Well, I'm going to also
echo. I didn't even know that Spotify offered audiobooks.
It's not a main offering, though. They're just kind of hidden in there. You don't find them yet.
Yeah, I'm going to
hit you up for that.
I'm going to echo Spotify, too. There are a couple of... I would love to buy music, but I don't feel like I listen to it enough to really pay for it. So occasionally I want to listen to something, mostly Professor Elemental,
who
Sean is not familiar with, but should be.
I've heard the name from you, probably.
Sounds familiar. He's a steampunk rapper.
Oh, gosh.
I mean,
he's a proper English gentleman.
Is that like DJ Chris? Does the Boba Fett? Kind of like nerdcore?
Yeah.
Nerdcore
rap. And then it's I also listen to a lot of Deadmau5. Because when I want to be
Mouse.
You have my heart now. No, it's Deadmau5. Deadmau5.
Is it?
The fives and S.
It's like the eighth time we've had this conversation on the podcast.
Well, Shirley's not my friend anymore. You are.
and with Deadmau5, it's typically like I want to be super productive, or I want to feel like a complete badass while I walk.
Absolutely. I mean, nothing will put a step, you know, into your walk. And then, yeah. Then
you
stop.
Honestly, you pop it in your earbuds and you walk while you're listening to it, and you feel like you're on top of the world.
Can I just echo this, by the way? I have a 51-year-old coworker. Now, hold on. Let me be clear that 51 doesn't mean that someone's old. But this is the man who told me that techno is horrible music. He told me that, you know, he's like, that's all beeps and boops and blops and computer noise. Real artists use guitars and drum sets. And I said, okay, I that's fair. I'll go with that. I'll appreciate you grew up with that in the 70s and 80s, you know, Leonard Skinner and Kiss and that kind of stuff. Yeah. Even the Beatles, really, back before then.
Yeah.
And I said, but let me play a DJ for you. So I turned him on to Deadmau5 on Spotify.
Yeah.
We're not getting paid for this. And he came back an hour later, and he goes,
yeah, Spotify, yeah, if you're listening, yeah, and you decide,
please,
we're cheap. We
okay,
will take
it. You know
it.
What? I pay for a monthly.
Yeah, I pay
9.99.
I pay unlimited for almost a year and a half now. I love it. He comes back, though, and he goes, that Deadmau5 guy is really awesome. So he did what you did. He called him Deadmau5, yes. Right? And I kind of had to correct him politely.
Why?
But he goes, that guy, that Deadmau5 DJ, he's not like the other DJs. And I'm like, right? That's why I'm a huge fan.
I'm not a huge fan of techno, awesome. Although when I listen to Pandora and listen to
You're
a lot.
You're not a huge fan of music.
I'm not. Can I finish my story?
Okay, go ahead.
When I listen to the Deadmau5 Pandora station. No, I'm making fun of you.
I'm laughing when I said Deadmau5. Sorry, I'll shut up.
Deadmau5 Pandora station. I was really enlightened by the other stuff that's out there. And there's a couple other techno bands, DJs, we'll
DJs,
go that,
producers,
that, producers that I like. I really like Daft Punk, especially their newest album is really, really good. Mostly because you can be up all night to get Loki.
Listen
to this. Now, yes. next time you hear it, you're gonna hear that every time.
You're ruining the album for me. No.
But a lot of the stuff on that on that techno rotation was just
genre.
Okay. It was okay. It wasn't, you know, necessarily something I'd rather to listen to. I've also been playing. We're still on apps now.
Sure. Yeah.
I've also been playing on My Muppet Show, which. I'm about done with. I mean, yeah. I like the concept, but it doesn't do enough, and I want the Muppets to do something other than stand around and sing the same 30 seconds worth of song over and over again, and it's getting very old. Yeah.
I'm just saying, that's about it.
So, those two, I'm still playing my card shark game, because for some reason, card games on my phone or iPad is the shit for me. I don't know what that is.
I'm a very advanced computer user. I have a ridiculous amount of apps. But you know what the one thing I've held on to since Windows 95 is FreeCell. Yeah. I still have a classic FreeCell app on my new phone.
I've been doing a lot of that. And SoulForge. SoulForge is a card game somewhat similar to Magic. It's iOS only, I apologize.
I was just talking about Hearthstone again.
No, not Hearthstone. This is SoulForge, and it is interesting. Essentially, as you play your deck, if you play out a level 1 creature, it gets replaced in your deck with a level 2 creature of the same kind. So if I play out my level 1 stag, I get a level 2 stag, which is a little bit better, and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, I don't care for it. I think there's ideas there, but there's a lot of buy-in. There's a lot of micro charges, and I just don't want to pay for decks or cards in a game that I'm not even sure I like. So it's interesting enough. I gave it a try because some people told me it was amazing. It's okay. I'm sure there are things about it I can see could be amazing. I just don't really care, though.
Sure.
That's about it. I mean, I play my normal stuff, my Penny Arcade, my Elder Sign, Ticket to Ride, Lords of Waterdeep, that kind of stuff. But those are the two big ones.
Lords of Waterdeep, yeah!
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sean.
Gosh, I have so many new ones. I'll shorten it.
Like,
you
have 80 bazillion pages.
I do have
on
a lot.
Phone.
Well, I feel really bad, actually, because I don't have my iPad. My iPad's most of my cool new apps, because I have more space. Paper by Facebook, pretty awesome.
Paper?
Paper.
Gaber? You ever seen Gaber?
The new paper app. It's pretty awesome. Yeah, it's Facebook, but with news. If anyone's ever read, it's escaping me right here. Flipboard. It's like Flipboard combined with Facebook.
Nice.
It's pretty awesome. I've also been playing around with the new SwiftKey.
Okay.
For anybody who ever made the jump from Android to iPhone, it's probably very sad that you don't have SwiftKey anymore. Well, it's back. They actually moved it over, rather, to the iPhone. It's pretty awesome.
iPhone to Android.
Well, it's already on the Android.
Okay.
Beyond that, I'm a gamer. Like,
you can talk about gaming apps. It's fine.
I know. I'm just saying. Like, Candy Crush, I'm still addicted.
Yeah, I'm not right
a friend, anymore. Still playing it. Ascension, I'm hitting my 3-year mark this month. I'm playing it forever now. Lords of Waterdeep, I'm with you on that.
Right on.
Penny Arcade, I love the fact that I can play my board games on the computer, on the mobile.
Are you disappointed that Penny Arcade doesn't have the second game out yet?
Yeah, Ascension rolled out so many expansions so quick or on a regular basis, and now, you know, Penny Arcade's slow.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of sad that they're doing that because they've got so many other great games out. I also got Can't Stop from them as well, which is a good one. Not from the same developer, but the mobile developer.
Yeah.
Gosh, what else? He-Man? Fun game.
What?
He-Man? They actually have a He-Man game for the iPhone.
Really?
Sorry.
It's He-Man.
It's a side scroll.
Downloading now!
Side scrolling. Oh, it's side-scrolling. I'm telling you, I geeked out like my 8-year-old inner child came out when I saw Castle Grayskull.
Yeah.
And what was the woman, the main chick?
She-Ra.
No, not She-Ra.
The
sorceress turned into like a falcon.
Yeah.
She comes out and she's like, He-Man, you're our only hope. And
$3!
I lost it. I was like, I'm buying this game immediately.
$3? No. Wow, you lost me at $3.
Warhammer Quest. Still playing a lot of that. I have not beaten it. My gosh, it takes forever.
You know what they have at the Game Paradise?
What's that?
Warhammer Quest.
I know. We need to play that. Anybody who's local wants to get on that, please hit us up.
Justin would be with us this weekend, but he is moving. And Justin told me that he wants to play that really bad. So as soon as he can come in, that is our first stop.
I do too, for sure. Other than that, though, I'm not really up to date with my games, sadly. I've got so many great board games. I mean, I just got Tanto Cure. I got Nightfall. Basically, all my board games are going to digital now. And I don't need my friends. So, sorry, friends, if you're listening. Although some games, they don't translate well. Like La Harbor, I've heard it was a really good transition. I cannot learn it. I have played the tutorial multiple times. Just can't grasp it. So other than that, I'm not really playing anything else too new.
Justin bought Agricola.
Yeah, I was going to get that too.
He couldn't figure out how to play it through the app, so he bought the board game.
Maybe I won't, but okay. Yeah. Some games like Pandemic, flawless transition.
Oh, really? Pandemic?
Because I don't have to worry about my friends getting mad if I make a wrong move or wrong choice.
Yeah.
I can be mad at myself.
Yeah.
You know, or same with the older side. I don't have to like throw the table over if I fail. I just throw my phone down and walk away.
Yeah. So we'll go to movies and TV last, and I will start, mostly because I'm going to steal stuff from Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
We've been watching the first season of Arrow on Netflix.
Phenomenal.
We're about halfway through. I think we're episodes in.
Yeah.
I will say this. I know that the other three people here clearly don't agree with me. It is not the best thing that I've ever watched in my life.
No.
But you know what is the only thing DC is getting correct with their, comic book?
That's true.
Yeah.
Adaptations.
Okay.
It's not perfect. I think there's some stuff that I would like to see fleshed out a little more, but maybe it's coming. And that's fair, because there's a whole other season that we haven't watched yet.
Yeah, I'd say that you're going to be pleasantly surprised. And
so,
then the craziest thing on that show...
You're not going to spoil anything at all, right?
No, because the Flash has his own series coming.
Yeah.
The Flash is going to show up eventually in your season 2 there.
Yeah.
And he's played by a villain from Glee. It's just really weird because he was one of the gay students at the rival school that when
not the guy that died, right?
Not the guy that died.
Spoilers.
Anyway, so it's just really weird. I love the he looks the part. I think he acts very well. I have nothing bad to say about him, but it's just so weird for me to go to see him on Glee when my wife watches it, and,
Yes.
I do too, but she's the one who turns it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're an accomplice.
Yeah, just like your daughter turns on My Little Pony. Exactly. We got it.
Accomplice.
So anyway, it's just weird to see him go from, you know, singing and dancing in his prep school uniform to playing Wally West. And the argument that came up on the internet when they cast Wally West's girlfriend from the comic as a person of color made me shudder with revulsion, because I can't believe people.
Yeah, well, it's the internet.
It is.
Can't believe that the people on the internet would say something terrible.
In this instance, it really took me off.
No,
it took me by surprise. I'm not saying it should have. It shouldn't have. You know, I was taken by surprise. But
I think the problem I'm having with Arrow right now is that if they introduce the Flash and that leads into a Justice League movie, then if Batman existed before Oliver came back to be Arrow, this TV show makes no sense, because they're all like, vigilante, this is terrible, nothing like this has ever happened before.
Yes.
But if Batman existed before,
right,
then that whole argument and their whole problem should be more like, oh, we've got a vigilante too.
Well,
it's not good, but, you know.
I don't think they're going to go that route, or at least they didn't originally intend to go that way, because Arrow spun out of Smallville. It's different because Green Arrow appeared in Smallville. This is a different Green Arrow. But it was lifted from Smallville. And one of the things that they said at the beginning of that series was they didn't want to do powers and costumes a lot. They've sort of broken that rule by including the Flash, although he doesn't actually have his powers.
They already broke that rule with Slade Wilson. He's in costume.
Have you seen him take his mask off?
No.
It's not Slade Wilson under the orange
right,
black
it's
mask.
Billy
Wintergreen.
Yeah, but Slade Wilson's in there and he has the mask. So
okay.
As far as the, they don't want to have, they
okay,
already have
masks,
costumes.
They
yeah.
have costumes in that they are, you know, but they're not tights and bright colored spandex.
That's true.
So,
they're dark colored
anyway,
spandex.
Yeah.
No, I get what
but
you're saying.
The,
Where's spandex?
Yeah.
Well, in the comic book, yes, everybody wears spandex.
Because
it's drawn. A lot of it might have been drawn by Rob Liefeld. You
don't want that. Yeah, no, you don't want to do that.
Anyway, the point is.
Is there a package?
So,
you'll,
that is.
Okay,
one.
So we're gonna move on.
Yeah. I think give Arrow a chance.
You'll yeah, no, I. The other thing I've been watching, I just got back into Burn Notice season 5. I kind of turned it off for a little bit because the storyline was dragging, and they got out of that dragging right after I started back into it. So I'm doing all right with that. What else have I been watching? I started rewatching Sons of Anarchy.
I don't know, because I'm not
I
with
know.
You.
I it was this rhetorical question. I've been rewatching Sons of Anarchy from season 1. I'm pretty far into that.
I need to start watching that.
It's pretty violent.
Well, it's,
but
I mean,
other than
I
that,
Dexter
yeah.
and
I have not watched Dexter.
House of Cards.
Have you watched it? No, you have not done one. It's more violent, way more violent than House of Cards, but it's the same kind of feel.
Yes. You haven't seen season 2 opener of House of Cards.
I haven't seen any of House of Cards season 2, so. Yeah, I know. Movies. Oh,
yeah.
I know we've already done this as an immediate movie review, like, real recently, but you should go see the Lego movie. It is amazing.
Oh my gosh, the Lego movie.
If you have children or don't have children, you should go see it anyway.
If you don't have children.
Especially if you don't have children.
Yes.
If you have children, you have no excuse, Johnny.
If you don't
yeah,
have children, you have no
I know.
Excuse.
I know. It's on our list of things to do.
So, I think that's it for me. Sean.
I've been watching House of Cards season 2.
Yes, House of Cards. I did a 3-day marathon. I couldn't do one.
Only
I tried
3 days.
Yeah, I tried to do 3 days or one day.
Are you watching it in?
Are
you watching it in 1080p?
No, God.
Because if you do 16 hours, so that House of Cards season 2 will cap you on your data for the month.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa. Well, that's.
I read a story about if you watch 16 hours of Netflix at all during the month in 1080p, it will cap you.
I do that like a week, but I don't watch it in 1080p.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I wouldn't watch it in 1080p.
I watch a ton of Netflix. Yeah. It's like Spotify for me. I use two apps every day. That's Netflix and Spotify.
One, because our Comcast is good, but if anybody else is on our, if Alex is in the other room on Skype or Shirley is doing something,
yeah.
it's just gonna pixelate anyway.
Like,
might as well be on the lower one. Yeah, she's always on back in the bedroom if she's a little tired watching American Horror Story and then not being able to sleep the rest of the night.
Hey, you know what?
So I just 1080p. I get that it's crisper, but it's not so crisp that I need to deal with it not loading correctly because it's so thicker.
I can get by that.
Yeah, thicker as in bandwidth wise.
Oh, okay. No, that was me.
Yeah.
I wasn't going another route.
No, no. So I was anyway, like, you were saying House of Cards too.
So, back to that. So House of Cards, phenomenal. And again, I won't be the bad guy. I won't spoil anything.
It's good.
But anyone who has watched this knows what John had said. Season 2's opener did not see that stuff coming. They set the bar good. They set the bar at a high level in that first episode, and it didn't relent the entire season.
Nice. More like halfway through season.
I wanted to see the first one because we haven't had time to get back.
You're gonna love it. They really show the strength of the writers in that show. I would honestly compare it, at least in recent memory, to Walking Dead. Of course, everyone loves Walking Dead, which is also being a good season. And then Aaron Sorkin in The Newsroom as the writer of The Newsroom. Phenomenal. I watched both seasons in 2 weeks of The Newsroom. I love that show now. And I'm sad that it's over after this next season.
Yeah.
Aaron's killing it.
Well, and so mad. We watched, have you guys seen K-Pax?
Yeah.
Yes.
So we watched like 5 episodes of House of Cards season 1. Shirley and I did. I'd already seen it all. And Shirley was kind of...
But the thing is, I love Kevin Spacey. Like, I saw him in The Negotiator, and I fell in love with him.
So we get done with the 5th episode, and she's like, I don't know if I want to watch anymore right now. And it was more of the, like, I don't know if I
want to... like, I don't know if I want to slit my wrist and commit suicide.
So then we put in K-Pax, which is a terribly different... Amazing, still amazing, Kevin Spacey. At least
she didn't put in American Beauty.
Anything else besides House of Cards 2?
House of Cards. What else? Supernatural, phenomenal. I still love Supernatural.
God, I love Supernatural.
Are you watching that on Netflix?
What about Human Beings? Is anybody watching?
Hold on. No, it's current season.
Oh, so it's not on streaming?
Yeah, no, it's current season. There's streaming the old season. Shameless. That's like a sleeper hit, really. No one really watches it. I have 2 friends that watch Shameless, and it's on the 5th season?
Shameless?
Fourth season. The UK version was the original, and they're up to like season 10 or something.
Series 10.
Yeah, series 10. And I tried watching it because I love the US version so much, but the British accent's that kind of cockney, dirty English.
Yeah.
And I can't understand any subtitles.
What was the name of it?
Shameless. And it is. It's a very shameless show. These people will do anything to survive. It's all story. It's all written, of course.
Yeah.
But the I'm gonna forget the guy's name. He was in the shoot. I'll have to add this to the notes later. I can't think of the name of the movie. But yeah, phenomenal actors and actresses are in it. We'll have to add some notes afterwards. But it's a great show. Walking Dead, of course, I mentioned that. It's phenomenal. And I watched a really good movie. I'm a huge Tyler Labine fan. Tyler Labine from Reaper fame of CW. Okay. He was also in Tucker and Dale vs. Tyler Labine was the hillbilly with the overalls. He's a phenomenal actor and very funny. He has a couple of new movies that have came out recently, but one of them really grabbed me was with Justin Long, and it's called Best Man Down. Is in like kind of like Black Hawk Down, Best Man Down.
Yeah.
Not meant to play off of that, but it's in very simplistic terms, without ruining anything, it's on the title of the book or the movie, whatever, is his best friend dies, and Justin and his new wife, within the first 10 minutes of the movie, have to then cope with that throughout the movie. And they do a series of flashbacks, and they show how he deals with it. And I went into it, being a Tyler Bean fan, going, I'm going to get 10 minutes of Tyler Bean, and he's gone. I knew from the beginning, from reading the preview, this isn't going to be all that cool because I'm not a huge Justin Long fan. I cannot get over the PC versus Mac and how snide he was in those commercials.
But it
got me. It really drew me in after the 10 minutes.
Which one was he?
Which one? Mac. What? He was the Mac guy. He was the snide. I'm a Mac kind of.
The cute little kid.
Yes.
Yeah. Cute little kid.
I love him.
He just seems so snide to me. I know. But he was great in Jeepers Creepers, so I'll give him that.
He was in Jeepers Creepers?
Yeah. Oh, Jeepers Creepers. So, it was a good movie. I really liked it. I highly recommend it, even if you're not a fan of either of those guys, because it's one of those films that just gets you.
Okay.
You don't expect it. you're drawn in. Next thing you know, you're just like, I can't turn this off. So, phenomenal movie. That's done for me.
Okay, Shirley, you were asking the question.
I was.
Has anybody seen him? Okay.
Yeah, like 5 minutes
what were
ago.
You, what have you been watching?
Oh, God. Like, so, Falling Skies. Oh, my gosh. So, Noah Wiley is, like, I've loved him since ER. So, I've kind of been stalking him minutely through that. And then he was in Enough by Jennifer Lopez, but he was a bad guy. So I really liked him. And then when Falling Skies came out and I saw he was the lead in it, I was like, oh, okay. So I have to watch this. And Falling Skies is amazing. It's about an alien race that comes to Earth and decides to take over, only because we are treating our children badly.
How are we treating them badly?
We don't take care of them. We dismiss them. We treat them as lower class citizens. We, you know, anything that you can think of that a terrible parent would do, that is what these aliens see us doing to our children.
So the aliens went to Walmart and watched parents not keeping track of their kids.
Yeah,
and
they
and
must
screaming.
Have, because, okay. Like, this is what they base our alien. Society off of. And they've come to take over and take care of our children, and that's kind of what I see so far. I'm in season 2 that Falling Skies is on, and then I am on season 2 of American Horror, and it's American Horror Asylum, and I don't know if any of you know who Adam Levine is.
You just talked
yeah.
Singer.
No, that's Tyler
Adam
Levine.
Tyler, never mind.
Okay, Adam Levine. Adam Levine is the lead singer of Maroon 5, and he is also on, it's not American Idol. It's the other.
America's Got Talent.
America's
the
Got
boys
Talented.
Sing America Sing.
Yeah.
We sing
America's
a lot in America.
America's Got Talent. America's Got Talent with, is it Cedric? Cedric's on that one?
I have
okay,
no idea.
Anyway. Adam Levine, lead singer of Maroon 5, is in the very first pilot of season 2 of American Horror Story Asylum. Like, this is keep you up if you watch it late at night. This is a scary, like, it's scary to me. I love it. I love it because it's scary. I love it because Adam Levine is in it in the second season.
Okay.
And then there's a new breakout actor, which is Evan Peters, and he's just amazing. What they do is American Horror Story takes the actors and cycles them through each season. And I don't know, like, if all of the actors have cycled through to the current season. I know that Jessica Lange is in all of them. And she is phenomenal.
Yes, she is.
Like, effing phenomenal. Like, amazing. And I was like, oh, what's this? Whatever. And then I saw her in season 1, and she's just this hoity-toity, like, L.A., 50s L.A. person, where she just is so, I can't even explain it, but she's very well kept in herself. And then in the second season, she is a nun.
Mm-hmm.
From the 60s or 70s or something like that. And she's head, or kind of head of this asylum under a father or a cardinal or
anyway.
Something. But anyway, like, the difference is night and day between the two characters, and she plays them phenomenally.
Okay.
So it's American Horror Story Asylum right now, which I moved on. That's the second season. And Falling Skies with Noah Wiley.
Okay. Johnny, anything?
Yeah, House of Cards season 2. We'll get that watched eventually. We'll listen to the first episode. But we've also been watching Dexter. We got out of that after Jasmine left. My wife left Blockbuster.
Where are you watching that on?
Netflix. It's all 8 seasons are on. 8,
streaming?
7. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, all of them. So you can go watch the entire series.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun. It's dark humor. And and everything. Good stuff. And then I've been watching a lot of horror movies on Netflix. I don't know why I like to be scared. It's natural.
I'm not at all with you.
Yeah.
I am with you.
Yeah.
I hate to be scared.
Right. So I finished watching one today called The Hollow. It was about a tree in Suffolk. I'm probably mispronouncing that. Suffolk County out in England, and this girl has all these horror stories based around this tree, and then her grandfather dies, and he was the pastor of the area, so she's looking through his papers, and he's got all these funeral announcement cards, and she and her friends are there to pass the house off to I don't know how they do things, but somebody is coming to take control of the house, and they're worried about all these hangings, and there's supposed to be a robed, hooded figure, and all this other stuff. And I'm sick to death of dishonest narrators in films now. I've watched maybe 5 horror movies in the last 2 months that use the trope, and it bothers the crap out of me. I'm just gonna spoil The Hollow for you at the beginning.
Spoilers. Yeah, because nobody wanted to listen. Definitely not. Watch that.
No, they don't.
So
the movie opens up like Cloverfield. The cops are investigating an incident. You don't know what's happened. You just see the giant tree, and there's a standard uniform Bobby explaining what happened, and he tells you that they found 4 bodies hanging in the tree, and there was a camera pointed up at these branches, and then he goes around the back of the tree and says, and there's this hollow in the tree that, you know, we're gonna, and he's like walking inside of it. And all of a sudden it goes, and the camera drops and fade to black. And then start this found footage horror movie. Everything's done through one camera. And it's what the police recovered. And you see the story of this engaged couple and this dating couple. And they're going to help her grandfather or take care of his house after his death. And you're going through this whole movie and you're thinking there's some kind of supernatural monster out there. You get that the other guy who's not engaged is still in love with the woman who is engaged. And then he runs off in the darkness. And then the man who is engaged runs off into the darkness. And then the woman who's not engaged runs off into the darkness. And the woman who is engaged is the main character. She winds up with the camera and, she's walking through the dark. And it turns out it was the first guy who was still in love with her. Decided to kill everybody because she wouldn't take him. So, like, they set this up that the cops are like, I'm going to go in here and see what's scary about this hollow of this tree. And he drops the camera, fade to black, and they're like, ooh, we got the cop too. No, we didn't get the cop. The cop just dropped the damn camera.
Oh.
So, dishonest narrator.
Yeah.
And I'm sick of it. I can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
if it's going to make a monster movie, have a monster, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
So, that's my rant. We're going to wrap this up a little bit. Talk about Hoosier Comfort briefly. Briefly rambly people. Briefly. Hoosier Con is a convention here in Indianapolis. It's a kind of a small gaming convention. Sean, is this your first year?
Second, actually.
Second year? Yes. I missed you last year.
Membership for both years.
Right on. John's is your second, third?
Second.
Okay. Shirley and I have come 4 of the 5 years.
Yes.
So this would be, yeah, there were.
Really?
2009 we missed.
At the one when they were at the pyramids.
Yeah, by the pyramids.
The Holiday Inn by the pyramids.
I thought last year was your first year.
No.
We actually played in the Dungeon campaign.
Yeah, they had a D&D big event. I forget what they called it. It was a lot of fun.
Dungeon campaign.
Yes, sure.
The dungeon campaign.
It's not what it's called, but sure.
We're gonna call it okay. The dungeon campaign.
Hey. Okay.
What?
You guys, if you're in the area or nearby, it's worth checking out. It's not
Definitely.
Gen Con by any means, but it is big enough to
But it's
find,
a nice free 3 day.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Keyword there, free.
Yeah.
So it's worth coming and checking
everybody's
out.
Everybody's here for gaming.
Yeah. You can find stuff to get into. They have a board game library, and it's easily accessible, unlike Gen Con, which is a little rough sometimes.
Yeah, it is.
But those are all great. And then I want to remind everybody about our Kickstarter. We are headed to Indie PopCon at the end of May. We met some guys from Indie PopCon today.
And Sean, our guest, is our biggest contributor.
Yes, Sean saw that Game Paradise had bought the advertiser level and said, screw that, I can do better.
Love you, Nikki.
And so Sean has contributed a large chunk, maybe a third of our intended goal to be part of the Kickstarter. He will be joining us at Gen Con for our Call of Cthulhu game as part of that. He's not on here because he contributed like that, but Sean's become a good friend of ours, and I know that gaming is kind of his thing. So we were happy to have him. But you need to go over to tinyurl.com/nerdpopkick. tinyurl.com/nerdpopkick, and that will get you straight to our Kickstarter. Look at what you got. John has some art that he's offering up that we need to get some visuals up for again, I think. They're in the video for sure. I just need to put them up in the actual Kickstarter. And then there's prints available, thank you cards. You can join us on this podcast, or you could suggest stuff for us to talk about on this podcast. You can go to Gen Con and play this awesome Call of Cthulhu game as our guest. You'll still have to pay for your way to Gen Con, just a heads up, and your Gen Con badge. We're not providing that either. But you will get to come play this game as our guest of honor, and meet the author of the adventure we're going to run. And it's a bigger game. It's going to be unique. I don't think anything gets played like this, especially not on a regular basis. So check those out. We are going to be at Indie PopCon and then Gen Con for sure. If you're in the Indianapolis area and you want to head down to Game Paradise, Shirley and I are down there every Thursday teaching something. If you want to check that out, go to our webpage and click on.
He's not there.
If you want to check out what we're teaching, go to our webpage, and on the right hand side, just below the Amazon link, it should say, want to play games with us? Here's how you do it. And it will take you to a page that links our calendars and shows what we're playing and when. So we look forward to you guys coming out. Let us know if you heard about us through the podcast. We'd be happy to meet you and say hi and play some games. And we will talk to you guys real soon.
Peace. See ya.